Tonight we come to the by place of ripening. That means by the place where the karma gives results. And this is according to Abhidhamma method, and so the order gives us more details about this classification. So with respect to the place in which the effect takes place, there are four kinds of karma, namely one, unwholesome karma, akusala karma, and two, wholesome karma pertaining to the sense sphere. There are 10 realms in sense sphere, and this karma pertains to that sense sphere. Three, wholesome karma pertaining to the fine material sphere, that is rupa vajra karma, rupa vajra kusala karma. And there are 16 rupa vajra realms. And four, wholesome karma pertaining to the immaterial sphere. This is arupa vajra kusala karma. It pertains to four immaterial planes. So actually, there are two, unwholesome and wholesome. And wholesome is again divided into that pertaining to sense sphere, to fine material sphere, and to immaterial sphere. The first of them is akusala or unwholesome karma. Unwholesome karma or akusala karma is threefold or divided into three according to the doors of action, namely bodily action, verbal action, and mental action. Now, when we do some karma, sometimes we do the karma with the body, sometimes with speech or verbal action, and sometimes we do it in our mind only. So there are three kinds of unwholesome karma. They are in Pali called kaya karma, vachi karma, and mano karma. Now, kaya means body, vachi means speech, and mano means mind. And kaya karma is of three kinds. The first is killing, panatipato, and then stealing adinadanam, and sexual misconduct, kamesu michacharo. So these three are called kaya karma. Karma that occurs through the door of the body, through the door body. So when you do these karmas, you do with your body. Although mind is also involved in it, but body is the main door with which you do these acts. And it is said generally occurring through the door of the body. Because killing can be done by speech also. When you tell someone to kill some other person or some animal, so then it is through speech or vachi, but mostly it is done through the door of the body, and so it is called kaya karma, bodily action. So although it is called bodily action, sometimes it may be done through speech. And the door of the body is known as bodily intimation. Now the bodily intimation is a technical term. So you will find it in the sixth chapter. It is something like movement of the body. So when you want to do something, the desire to do arises in your mind, and that desire to do creates some material properties that are caused by mind. And the increase of the material properties in the mind is just what we call movement. So although we think things move, actually they don't move. But at different moments, there are more material properties produced, and so we think that it is moving. So, but according to Abhidhamma, nothing moves. And we can understand this with the analogy of a motion picture. So we think, when we watch motion pictures, we think that the pictures are moving on the screen. There are moving pictures on the screen. But actually, there are no moving pictures. There are still pictures, one still picture after another, projected on the screen in rapid succession. And then our mind combines those into one composite moving picture. So that is why I say, you don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind. What we see with our eyes is just the still pictures projected in rapid succession on the screen. They can project about 36 frames a second or something like that. So they are so fast that we are not able to see that they are still pictures. So we combine these pictures in our mind and then make up in our mind an illusion of movement. So when we see the pictures on the screen, we think that they are moving, but they are not moving pictures. So in the same way, in our actual life also, we think that we move our hands or we move from one place to another, but actually at every moment there is just the body not moving. But then at another place, another body, another place, another body, and so we think it is moving. So that kind of movement is called bodily intimation. It is one of the 28 material properties that will be taught in the 6th chapter. So whenever we do killing, stealing, or sexual misconduct, we do through this movement of the body. The movement of the body is called the door of the body. Now, the 10 mentioned here, the 3 through the door of the body, 4 through the door of speech, and 3 through the door of mind, are called 10 unwholesome causes of action. You find that on page 207. The above passage enumerates the 10 unwholesome causes of action. They are called in Pali, akusala kama patha. Akusala, you know, unwholesome, kama is kama, and patha means a road, or here a cause. So there are 3 bodily, 4 verbal, and 3 purely mental actions. And there is a saying that an act becomes a full course of action. So there are 2 things we must understand regarding killing and so on. Just the wrong action and a full course of action. When a person tries to kill, let's say kill an animal, but the animal is not killed. So when the animal is not killed, although the man tries to kill it, he performs what is called a wrongdoing by way of his body or bodily action. But that does not constitute killing or a full course of action, because the animal is not killed. Only when animal is killed does it become a full course of action, and when it becomes a full course of action, it can give results at patisandhi or relinking or at rebirth. So it can give rebirth results when it becomes a full course of action. So sometimes we have to find out whether it becomes a full course of action or it is just an action. Because if it is just an action and not full course of action, then it may not give very bad results. So in the case of killing, somebody tries to kill somebody, but when the victim is not killed, then it does not become a full course of action. We may call it an evil action or wrong action through the body. So in the guide it said, then it becomes a full course of action. Let us read this. Such volition is an unwholesome karma, regardless of whether or not it completes the action. But if it does reach completion of the action and achieve its aim, for example, the death of the intended victim, the appropriation of another's property, etc., then it becomes a full course of action. The characteristic of a full course of action is being a karma with the potency to take on the rebirth generating role. That means being a karma that gives results. Results as rebirth. So even though we try to kill somebody or some animal, some being, if that being is not killed, then it does not become a full course of action. So we must understand this. Let us go back to Panadipada. The word Panadipada, Pana means a being. And technically, a being means the life faculty in that being. Now, you will learn the life faculty also in the sixth chapter. It is also one of the 28 material properties. There is something like life in our body. Because of that life, we are alive. If that life departs, if that life is no longer in our body, we are said to be dead. So that life faculty is what is called pana, being here. And adipada means, pada means dropping down. So here dropping down means letting it disappear sooner than it would otherwise. So when we kill a being, that means we do not let that being or the life of that being to go its course. We try to cut short its life. And so that cutting short is what we call here atipata. So panadipata means cutting short the life of a being or taking life. This is one volitive action, and when the action achieves its aim, like the death of the victim and so on, then it becomes a full course of action. Now, Devadatta tried to kill the Buddha, but he was not successful. So he did not commit Panadipada of the Buddha. The second one, adinadana. Now, adina means not given, and adana means taking. So adinadana means taking what is not given. So that is commonly described as stealing. Stealing, robbing, cheating. So all these come under adinadana. So taking something that is not given to you by the owner is one unwholesome action you do through the body, the door of the body. So it is included in the bodily action. So when you steal something, you have to use your body to do it. Here also, you can tell someone to steal. So it can also arise through the door of speech, but because it mostly is committed through the body of door, it is included here. Here also, although you try to steal, but you do not get the thing, then that does not constitute a full course of action. Although, again, it is an evil action or it is a wrong action. And then the third one is kamesu michacharo. So kamesu means in sensual pleasures, michacharo means wrong practice. So it is translated as sexual misconduct. Sometimes it is translated as adultery. But it is more than adultery. So it is having relations with someone who is said to be unlawful object. Now there are different kinds of women taught in the discourses that a man should not approach. They are off limit for men, and so when a man has a sexual relationship with a woman included in those off-limit persons, then he commits this akusala, the sexual misconduct. So there are many things to be said about these precepts or these unwholesome causes of action. Sometimes we try to find out how many conditions are to be fulfilled in order for one act to become a full course of action and so on. But sometimes people say, trying to find, these are just trying to find excuses. So just stay away from these altogether, and that's the safest thing to do. So don't even try to kill an animal, don't even try to kill a being. That's the best thing to do. You may try to kill and then you may say, oh, I tried to kill it, but it is not killed, and so it does not become a full course of action. So I'm not so bad. So in these also, the killing and then stealing, and these three. So these three are called unwholesome bodily actions, because when we do one of these bodily actions, we do with an unwholesome mind or unwholesome consciousness. Now later on, we will find out what is the root of these actions. So these three are called the kaya kamma, that means the actions committed through the door of the body, and they are called committed through door of the body because generally they occur through the door of the body, but sometimes they may be done with the speech, but yet they are still considered bodily actions. So there are three kinds of bodily actions which are unwholesome or which are bad, and that they are killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. The next group is actions generally occurring through the door of speech. So you use your mouth to do these actions. The first one is musawada, false speech, telling lies. So you tell a lie, and then you acquire this aku sela. And when the lie causes ruin to the other person, then it becomes a full course of action. Sometimes you may say it a lie, but it doesn't affect the other person much. Then it does not become a full course of action. Also, it is a lie. So a lie and a lie that is a full course of action, there are two things. So if you ruin the other people's property or repute or whatever, then it becomes a full course of action. Sometimes people have to tell lies just not to hurt other people or to get people from getting hurt or something. So they are called white lies. So white lies are not so bad, although still they are lies, but the intention is also not bad, and so they do not become a full course of action. But when you have taken the precepts, that means you break the precept when you tell a lie, whether it ruins the other person's reputation or property or whatever. Because breaking the precept and becoming a full course of actions are two different things. You break the precept, but it may not become a full course of action. So the false speech or telling lies becomes a full course of action when the other person's reputation and others is ruined. Now the next one is Pisuna Vacha in Pali, slandering. Slandering means trying to break two people, two friends. So there are two friends and you want to break their friendship. So you go to one person and does something. And then you go to another person and tell something again. And in this way, you can break their friendship. So that is what is meant by Pisuna Vacha. Now, Pisuna means crushing. Now, Vacha means speech. So crushing speech. Crushing speech means friendship crushing speech. So here also, only when the friendship is crushed, only when they are divided, does it become a full course of action. Sometimes you try to separate two people, but they don't. In that case, it's not a full course of action. So, it is not just slandering. It is more than slandering. So sometimes it is translated as backbiting. Even backbiting is also, it does not cover the meaning of Pisuna Vacha. Backbiting is telling something bad about somebody in his absence. But if you have no intent to break the friendship, it is different, right? So here, the backbiting or telling something bad about somebody to another person is with the intention of breaking their friendship. So the intention of breaking their friendship is an important thing in this Pisuna Vacha, slandering or whatever we may translate it in English. And the next one is Parusa Vacha. Parusa means rough or harsh, and vacha means speech. So harsh speech, that means using harsh words like swearing or like saying may you die or something like that. So this is called parusa vacha or harsh speech. People often use harsh speech when talking to each other. When the other person is hurt, then it becomes a full course of action. Now, here also, only when the intent is harsh, does it become really harsh speech. Sometimes you say something, some harsh words, but you don't mean them. So in that case, it does not constitute the harsh speech. So the example given in the books is that there were a mother and son, and the son wants to go out to the forest, and the mother didn't want him to go, but the son didn't obey her, and so he went out. So when he went out, the mother said, "May a wild buffalo follow you or attack you." So he went to the forest, and he found the real a buffalo and trying to attack him. So at that time, he said, what was in the mind of my mother happen, and not just what she said. Because although the mother said, "May a buffalo attack you," she didn't want him to be attacked by a buffalo. She was just angry, and so she just said this. So in that story, it is said that the buffalo just went away. So when the intent is harsh, it is called harsh speech, although the words themselves may be not harsh. Now, sometimes kings want to execute a person, and they may say, "Put him to sleep." So when they say "put him to sleep," it is really a harsh speech, because the intent is to kill that person. Nowadays also, if you have pets, sometimes the doctors will advise you to put the dog to sleep or put the cat to sleep. So they use the expression "putting it to sleep," but actually they are killing. So only when the intent is harsh is this harsh speech, otherwise it is not. And the last one is sampapalapa. Sampa means nonsense, and palapa means talking. So talking nonsense. Talking nonsense means talking that is not conducive to spiritual development. So talking, making a frivolous talk is called sampapalapa. So telling the stories that are not true, something like that. But here also, only when the other person believes you does it become a full course of action. Sometimes you may use an imaginary story just to help people to refrain from evil or something like that. So that is not called frivolous talk. Frivolous talk is just you want them to believe in what you say and spend your time, and without any benefits to be derived from that talk. So that is called sampapalapa. In our commentaries, they always say sampapalapa is talking about Ramayana and Mahabharata. So sometimes we are not fair. We think the stories of other people are all nonsense. What is important here is the talk which is not conducive to the spiritual development, which is not conducive to getting more kusala or getting rid of akusala and so on. So such kind of talk is called sampapalapa. And these four are committed generally through the door of speech. Now, we can write a musawada, we can write a bisonawada and so on. But normally we do lying or slandering and others with our speech, since they generally occur through this door of speech. They are called vachi kamma, the verbal action. And since here they are akusala, they are called unwholesome verbal actions. And here, the door of speech is known as vocal intimation. Now, there are two intimations taught in the sixth chapter. They are part of the 28 material properties. So the one is bodily intimation and the other vocal intimation. So vocal intimation simply means talking or speech. So by talking, I make you understand what I mean. And by bodily action, I make you understand what I mean. That is why they are called intimation. So I intimate you by the gesture of the body or by what I say. The bodily gestures may differ from country to country, from culture to culture. So when we want to call somebody, what gesture do you use in this country? Like this or like this? In the United States, they use like this. So you put your hand facing your face, and then you bring the fingers towards you, and you show this gesture. So that means, please come. But in our country, and maybe in the East, they use this one. They turn their palm towards the person, and then they put down their fingers and like this. So sometimes it can create misunderstanding. Because in our country, calling a person like this is impolite. So people will be insulted. They feel insulted if you call them like this. But in the United States, it is normal. So a Burmese man went to New York and he wanted to call a taxi. So when he saw a taxi, he called this way, come, come. This means bye-bye in America. So the taxi driver also made this gesture to him and went away. So he was angry. So the bodily gestures may be different from the country to country, nation to nation, culture to culture. And that is called bodily intimation. So verbal intimation is the words we use when we communicate with each other. So by saying the words, I make you understand my intention or what I mean. So when I say, I tell lies, when I try to destroy the friendship of others, then I use the words. So with these words, I try to achieve my aim. So mostly I will do this with speech, and so these four are called vachi kamma, the verbal actions. The other three are called mano kamma, mind action, so mental actions. So the first one of them is in Pali, abhijja. So it is translated as covetousness. But I don't really know what covetousness is. Now, covetousness or abhijja is the mental factor of greed. It is loba, arisen as the wish to acquire another person's property. If I am attached to my property, this is not called abhijja. But if I want to acquire another person's property, for example, I see a new car with another person. Now I want to possess that person. I want to take that car for me. I want to acquire that another person's property for me. So when I want to take that for me, there arises abhijja in my mind. Abhijja is a greed, but it is a special kind of greed. Even though greed arises for another's property, it does not become a full course of action unless one gives rise to the wish to take possession of that property. So now I'm so attached to the car that I want to take that. So then I have abhijja in my mind. So this is what abhijja means. The wish to acquire another person's property. So he may say, it would be good if it becomes my property, something like that. So if I think like that, then I have abhijja in my mind. And this is done in mind only. I do not really take the car for me, or I do not tell anybody to take the car, but only in my mind, I wish that car became my property. So that kind of loba is called abhijja. But in many places in the discourses, abhijja means just loba or just greed, not this special kind of greed. So sometimes we have to understand according to the context. Now, this what appears in the Satipatthana Sutta at the beginning. Removing covetousness and grief in the world. He dwells contemplating on the body, ardent, clearly comprehending and mindful, removing covetousness and grief in the world. There, covetousness or abhijja in Pali does not mean just this kind of loba. It means any loba, any attachment, any desire, or any craving. But here we are studying abhidhamma, and so abhijja here means the desire to possess another person's property. And the second one is vyapada. Vyapada is translated as ill will, and it is dosa. So it is a mental factor of hatred which becomes a full course of action when it arises with the wish that another being meets with harm and affliction. It would be good if he meets with harm, if he meets with affliction, and so on. That kind of wish is called vyapada. Although we say it is wish, it is not loba. So it is dosa. You want another person to come to trouble. You want another person to come to harm. So that kind of dosa is called ill will here. And the last one is miccha ditti, wrong view. Miccha means wrong and ditti means seeing or view. So miccha ditti, wrong view, becomes a full course of action when it assumes the form of one of the morally nihilistic views which deny the validity of ethics and the retributive consequences of action. Now there are people during the time of the Buddha who did not believe in karma or its results. They say there is no karma. Whatever you do is just doing it. It is not karma. Since it is not karma, then there can be no consequences of karma. Sometimes they say there are no results. Whatever results there are, they just happen. They are not conditioned by or produced by some cause. So they don't believe in cause and effect. They don't believe in karma and its results. Such people are called miccha ditti, or those who have wrong views. Three such views are mentioned often in the Sutta Pitaka. So these are mentioned in the Pitaka and also in the commentaries. Now, number one, nihilism, nattika ditti, which denies the survival of personality in any form after death. That means there is no future, there is no results. This is just one life, and when life ends at death, that is all there is to it, nothing more. So this is called nattika ditti, thus negating the moral significance of deeds. And number two is akiriya ditti, the inefficacy of action view. That means deeds have no efficacy in producing results and thus invalidate moral distinctions. So the actions have no power to give results. Actions are just actions and nothing more. So That is one kind of ditti or wrong view. And the third wrong view is ahetuka ditti. Ahetu simply means no cause. So no cause wrong view, a causality view. There is no cause or condition for the defilement or purification of mind. That beings are defiled or beautified by chance, by fate, or by necessity. So these are called wrong views in Buddhism. Actually, these three deny both karma and its results. When you deny karma, you also deny the results. And when you deny the results, you also deny the karma. So whether you say, I deny karma, you deny both karma and its results. In the same way, if you say, I deny the results, then you deny the causes as well. So although they are different in some way, actually they are the same because they deny both karma and its results. So not believing in the law of karma, not believing in the law of cause and effect, is called Miccha Ditti. So this Miccha Ditti arises in our minds. Now we may study the doctrines taught by these teachers, and when we are really convinced that they are true teachings and we take them to be our own view, and when that view becomes so fixed in our mind that we cannot be taught otherwise than this, the Miccha Ditti arises in our mind. So these three, occurring only in the mind without bodily or vocal intimation, because you just think of them, it arises in your mind, and so they do not arise through the door of speech or the door of body. So they are called mental actions, actions in the mind. Now, the bodily actions are three, verbal actions are four, and mental actions, three altogether, 10. So these 10 are called 10 unwholesome causes of action. Now, from among these, the first one, Panadipato, is included in the five precepts. So if you claim to be a disciple of the Buddha, then you are required to keep that precept. Abstention from killing living beings. And then the second of the five precepts is Adinadana. So abstention from taking what is not given, abstention from cheating, abstention from robbing. There are many things. And then the third precept among the five precepts is kamesu michachara, so sexual misconduct. And so long as you are a disciple of the Buddha, you are expected to keep these precepts, abstention from killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. And also, false speech, musawada. It is a fourth of the five moral precepts. So you are expected to keep this precept, abstention from telling lies. And then, the slandering, harsh speech, and frivolous talk are not included in the precepts. And abhijja, vyabhado, miccha ditti, covetousness, ill will, and wrong view are also not included in the precepts. So you see only four of the five precepts included in these unwholesome causes of action. What is missing? The fifth one, taking intoxicants. So there are people who argue, since taking intoxicants is not included in these 10, we might as well do it. with immunity. But our ancient teachers will not let us go that way. So they said, although it is expressly not mentioned among the ten, we must take it to be included in kamesu michachara. Now kamesu, kama means desirable sense object. So sensual pleasures, wrong practice in sensual pleasures. So if we understand that way, we can include drinking in the kamesu michachara. It is a kind of wrongdoing in sensual pleasures, drinking, or the taste. So our teachers, the ancient teachers said, drinking should be included in kamesu michachara because it is a form of wrongdoing regarding the sensual pleasures, that is taste. So lay Buddhists keep these five precepts as their basic practice. The five precepts are called Nitya Sila, permanent Sila. So that means lay people are expected to keep them always. And once these precepts are taken, and you mean to keep them for life, then you don't have to take them again, because they will be with you as long as you want to keep them. If you want to keep for just one day, then they will be with you for one day. And if you want to keep them for 1 month, and they will be with you for 1 month. And at the end of 1 month, they will not be with you. You don't have to do anything. But nowadays, people take precepts every day. So that is to affirm the purity of moral conduct. And also, when you take every day, you get more merit. And also, sometimes, one or two of the precepts may be broken. So when you know that they are broken, if one is broken, then you can take that one only again. Or you may take the five again. But there is one statement that if, when you take the precepts, when you say, I take these five precepts, then if you break one precept, all are broken. Because you undertake to keep them as a whole, as a group. I will keep five precepts. But if you say like Panatipata, Viramani, Sikkhapadam, Samadhiyami, one by one, that means if you break one, you just break one and not the others. So that is a difference. So it is better to take the precepts one by one than taking five and saying, I undertake to keep the five precepts. So now we have 10 unwholesome causes of action. And now we will see what motivates these actions. Now, of them, killing, harsh speech, and ill will spring from the root of hatred, dosa mula. So Panatipata springs from, killing a living being springs from dosa. And harsh speech comes from dosa. And vyabhara, it is itself dosa. So when these happen, when these occur, springing from the root of dosa. So that means in Buddhism, there is no mercy killing. Whether it is out of mercy or not, when you kill, there is dosa at that moment. That killing may be motivated by mercy, but at the real moment of killing, there is dosa. So you cannot get away from it. saying it is mercy killing because I don't want this being to suffer more and so on. Because here in Abhidhamma they said this killing comes from the root of dosa. That means when we kill, at the moment of killing, what type of consciousness will be in our mind? When we kill something or somebody, one of these, right? So we kill with this citta or this citta. So whenever we kill, one of these citta arises in our mind. And both of them are accompanied by what? Dosa, right? Dosa mula, hatred, ill will or anger. So killing can never be done with mercy or loba or whatever. And sexual misconduct, covetousness, and wrong view from the root of greed. So sexual misconduct is done through greed or loba, and covetousness also loba, and wrong view accompanies loba. So they come from the root loba or the root of greed. The remaining four arise from two roots. The remaining four means adinadana, stealing, and then what? Pisuna vacha, sampapalapa. So the remaining four arise from the two roots. When we say something to describe friendship of others, it may be motivated by one of the two roots. That means motivated by hate or motivated by greed or just attachment or loba. So out of the 10, killing, harsh speech, and ill will spring from hate, dosa. And sexual misconduct, covetousness, and wrong view from greed or loba, and the remaining four from two roots, dosa and loba. Now, we are studying about karma here. And karma is defined as chetana. So actually, killing means actually the chetana, the mental state that arises when we do the killing. So that chetana, which accompanies the chetana when we kill a being, is called killing here, panatipata. So we must take all to mean the chetanas, not just the action, not the killing action, not the stealing action, but the chetana, the volition that arises when we do these activities. And these 10 akusalas, these 10 unwholesome causes of action are done with one of the 12 akusala chittas. So according to the classes of consciousness, according to the arising of consciousness, this unwholesome karma is altogether 12-fold. Because there are 12 types of consciousness that can arise when we do these 10 unwholesome actions. So when we do panatipata, then we will have one of these two accompanied by dosa, right? And when we say harsh speech, and when we wish other people's ruin, other people's trouble, then one of the two accompanied by dosa arises in our minds. Then kamisumichachara, when people commit that crime, there is loba in their mind. So one of these 8 akusala chetas accompanied by loba. And Abhija, again, loba. And Michaditi, again, loba. And then the other four, when we do the other four, the consciousness that arises in our mind may be accompanied by loba or accompanied by dosa. Now, what about the last two, moha? They are not mentioned here, but they are like in the background, because moha is concomitant with all these 12 types of consciousness. Although we call just the last two moha mula, actually moha is present with all the 12 types of consciousness. So by way of chedas, we can say there are 12 kinds of unwholesome karma. But by way of the door of action, then we say there are 10. 3 of the body door, 4 of speech door, and 3 of mind door. So altogether, there are 10 unwholesome causes of action. And these 10 unwholesome causes of action will give results in the future at both relinking and during life. And whenever they give results, they will give bad results. So if we do not want to get bad results, we must refrain from doing these unwholesome actions. So when we can refrain from doing these unwholesome actions, we will not get the painful results of these actions. So understanding these 10 unwholesome causes of action will help us to avoid getting akusala. That means to avoid getting suffering in the samsara. So these are the unwholesome karma, and they will give results in the woeful state and in the kama vajra and also rupa vajra walls. So we will study them a little later. Okay, let's have a break.